You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And welcome to another First Bite, the last First Bite of 2018. Almost said last of Pride of Detroit, and that's wrong. The Pride of Detroit POD cast is bringing you First Bite, your preview podcast for the Detroit Lions. Every year, every week, man, I can speak today. In the NFL, in the NFL season, Jeremy, I might need you to help me step in here. Like, clearly, clearly, this is where we're at. This is the last First Bite of the year, of the season, the last preview, and then it's over. The entire 2018 Detroit Lions season is thankfully, mercifully, and a little bittersweet over. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host, being super adequate right there. That's the joke. I cannot speak. Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, is here to help me out and keep this respectable. How you doing, Jeremy?
My gastrointestinal tract is great. Adequate? That's the kind of update you were looking for, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sure. And then joining us for the last time this season, and probably almost as thankful to have this season done, is Tex Evan Western from Acme Packing Company. Tex, how you doing?
I think you're entirely accurate. It's let's get this all over with.
this is the let's get this over with bowl, if we're being honest. It's bowl season. This is going to be played like a college bowl. It's either let's get this over with bowl or the I want to die bowl. Either way, the Green Bay Packers, the Detroit Lions, staggeringly both teams coming in here with a losing record, with the Lions, of course, at 5-10 and the Packers at 6-8-1 with that one respectable tie that might honestly let the Vikings into the playoffs if we're not careful. And I think the big question I want to ask you, and most of the Lions fans listening, they know what happened to the Lions, but I want to hear it from you on the Green Bay Packers. What happened?
Well, I think it starts and ends with Mike McCarthy's offense just never evolved from when it was exciting and new and awesome back in 2010, 2011, that whole time period. And we finally saw that all kind of come to a head this year when Aaron Rodgers had that knee injury in week one against the Bears and his mechanics kind of all went to crap. And when you have a Rodgers who's missing some of the conventional throws that he normally hits, especially on some of the deep balls because his mechanics aren't great. And you have an offensive scheme that relies on receivers winning one-on-one routes all the time. And you have basically one, solid starting caliber veteran receiver on the team in Devontae Adams and a whole bunch of injured guys and a whole bunch of rookies. That's not a great recipe for success. And so I think that's kind of the biggest core issues there. And I think Mike McCarthy's firing was indicative of the fact that leadership recognized that it just wasn't changing and that he wasn't keeping up with the times in the NFL. And here we are sitting under 500 for the second year in a row for the first time in almost three decades and looking for a new head coach this fall or this winter time.
It's only 1 year. Why are Packers overreacting? No, I'm kidding. Jeremy, what do you want to say?
Yeah, well, I guess I want to just kind of get into the nitty gritty a little bit. Last week, we talked about the Vikings. They were a team that was kind of going through what I would call maybe some similar struggles offensively. And one of the things they did, they changed offensive coordinators. The reasoning behind that was, to kind of revitalize the running game because they were running okay. They just weren't doing it very often. I'm looking at this Packers team. They're second in DVOA in running the ball, but they don't have any like eye popping stats other than Aaron Jones, well over 5 yards a carry this year. Does that have something to do with the regression with their offense? Is just not running the ball enough?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. You know, looking at the stats, they are last in the NFL in rushing attempts all season long, but they're second in yards per carry.
Yeah.
So it early on, part of the issues that Packers fans had were with McCarthy's unwillingness to use Aaron Jones early on in the season. Jones came off he spent the first two games of the season on suspension, and then he came back for week three, and McCarthy seemed insistent on still having Jamal Williams be the feature back, and only working in Jones for, you know, 10, maybe 12, 15 snaps a game for, you know, those first three, four games that he came back. And that really got Packers fans frustrated, because it was plain to see after their rookie years last year that Jones is the more explosive tailback. He's got much better vision in the backfield. And so, you know, his cutback ability is just second to none, I think. And it was frustrating even once you got through the bye week and you get into this tough stretch of games against teams like the Rams and the Patriots and Seattle and Minnesota, that even when he did start giving the bulk of the snaps to Jones, he just didn't use him consistently. You'd see him for, you know, the first three drives or so, and he'd get 8 or 10 carries or touches on those three drives, and then he'd be gone for, you know, 30 minutes of gameplay, and you'd see him pop up again in the fourth quarter. So yeah, an inefficient, I think, use of the explosive running back is definitely part of the Packers' struggles as well. And certainly that could have taken some pressure off of Rodgers, maybe, you know, make him not feel like he had to make every play. And his, what, age 35, I think, season this year. Mm-hmm. I think he turned 35 earlier this fall. So, I think one of the things that you look towards to next year is see if you can get somebody who can do with the Packers offense what they did down in New Orleans with Drew Brees. You know, a couple of years ago, he was still throwing the ball 40 times a game. And, you know, now he's down to, you know, 25, 27 pass attempts a game. And New Orleans looks like one of, if not the best teams in football. So I think that would be, if you can try to reimagine that offense a little bit and use the talented backs that the Packers do have and take some pressure off of Rodgers, I think that definitely could go a long way to continuing to make him effective in, you know, into his late 30s.
One of the most surprising things, Tex, and I guess this is a two-part question. I'll start with the first part. You can just say yes, no on this. Was the firing of McCarthy a little too late?
You know, I think we all assumed over at Acme Packing Company, and I think generally Packers fans assumed that it was going to happen at the end of the season, especially through that tough stretch midseason where it seemed like the Packers were just blowing game after game due to dumb mistakes and coaching issues. I still thought that it was going to happen at the end of the season and that it wasn't going to happen midseason. That said, I think the answer to an extent is yes, because I think you saw signs that his offense was not changing in the last couple of years. And so I think there was some thoughts that maybe it was going to happen last offseason, and obviously it didn't.
And to add on to that then, because maybe it's just me and maybe this is just something we do with coaches in the NFL, especially one like Mike McCarthy, for whatever reason or another, because I saw quite a few people caping up when McCarthy got fired, saying that he was still a decent, competent coach. And some of the implication on that was that part of this was on Aaron Rodgers to not evolve with Mike McCarthy, or I don't know. There was some partitioning of blame, mm-hmm. as it were, and some redemption story trying to be painted for McCarthy. So I don't know where do you subscribe at all, though, that Rodgers was part of this problem, or because I don't see it like that.
No, I don't really buy into that very much either, and especially not when you saw him play the way he did in the second half against the Jets, kind of leading the Packers back on another comeback last week. No, I think the best comparison I can come up with is Andy Reid in Philly. Is just at some point you kind of know that it's not working anymore, and maybe a change of scenery can shock the guy into, you know, reimagining his offensive system like Reed has done in Kansas City. I do think that in the right situation, maybe like a Cleveland with a talented young quarterback, McCarthy could end up having a turnaround, maybe not to the extent that Reed did, but at least get a team like that into, you know, a somewhat of a contending team. So that's the comparison I keep coming back to, is just 13 years is a long time in one place, you know, with a quarterback and a coach. And I think it just kind of had run its course.
I want to shift focus to the defensive side of the ball for a second, because going into the 2018 season, I think a lot of people, especially in Green Bay, were just like, okay, we're going to have Aaron Rodgers back. We'll be fine there. And the defense is nice and young, and we've got these nice pieces. We had Muhammad Wilkerson. Everything's going to improve on defense too. Aaron Rodgers will finally have a defense. We'll finally be a full team. And it looks like the defense is kind of what we've seen out of the Packers for the past few years. You know, 27th in pass defense DVOA, bottom 10 in points allowed. What went wrong this season on the defensive side of the ball? Obviously, with Wilkerson, there was an injury early. Were there other key injuries? Did the young players not develop as expected? What went wrong in your mind on that side of the ball?
Yeah, injuries are, I think, the biggest factor on that side of the football. We've got all three week one starters on the defensive line are on injured reserve. So that's Wilkerson, that's Mike Daniels, and now Kenny Clark as of about a week ago. You lost one of your starting inside linebackers in the preseason to a torn ACL. Kevin King, the corner, just can't stay healthy. Haha, Clinton Dix was bad, and we all kind of knew it, but nobody believed us until he got to Washington and showed everybody. And just a revolving door in the secondary of constant injuries. Jair Alexander, first round pick, missed some time, and he's been really good when he's played, but he missed a few games. Mm-hmm. Josh Jackson, the second round pick, hasn't developed the way I think a lot of Packers fans hoped he would, partially maybe because of the transition from being a zone corner at Iowa to primarily a press man guy in Green Bay. Safety injuries again, just it was really tough for Mike Pettine to put a consistent team out there or consistent unit on the field week to week. And I think that really hurt his unit's effectiveness. And I think you also have a lack of depth at certain key positions. An edge rusher is one, for example. Nick Perry's on IR. He wasn't very good when he was out there this year either. Clay Matthews is getting old and isn't as effective as he was probably five years ago or so. And so, you know, Pettine was really good this year at scheming pressures on third downs and bringing pressure from a bunch of different places. But there was no, you know, there's not really that one guy who you can rely on to always be in the quarterback's face, pressure the quarterback. And then when you've got a revolving door of young guys in the secondary, that's just not a recipe for success.
Now, we're going to get into the future of the Packers, and I think in our next segment, but I want to kind of peek behind the door a little bit. Obviously, a lot has been talking about the offense, and there's already been some significant changes on that side of the ball and the coaching staff. Do you think the pressure is going to be the same on the defensive coaching staff? Obviously, a new head coach might want to bring in their whole own system of quarterbacks, coaches. But as we saw in Chicago, there's also a precedent for keeping around a defensive staff. So where do you fall on that? Do you want to see the same kind of defensive staff in place or wholesale change?
No, I think if you get an offensive minded coach in, I can be okay with keeping Mike Pettine around, keeping around some of those assistant coaches. There's a few guys who've been with the organization for a long time. Joe Witt, for example, he's done a real good job coaching up cornerbacks. And again, I think Pettine's done some really good things. He just doesn't have the talent to work with to be able to do them as effectively as he'd like or as this team needs. So, yeah, I would certainly be open to Pettine returning. I know there's a handful of people on Packers Twitter who are staunchly anti-Pettine in large part because of some of these stats and particularly their numbers against the pass. But, you know, I look at it, I see those injuries and the constant rotation of these guys. And I see Pettine having a lot of a really difficult situation to work with and doing a halfway decent job, at least of getting as much of that group out of that group as he could.
Is Joe Philbin going to have a role on this staff when the new coach comes in?
I don't think so. And part of the biggest reason for that is, you know, one of the things, again, that was very plain to see to me is this offense is old and stale. And why would you leave a guy in charge who is going to just run a lot of the same concepts on offense? That doesn't seem to me to be any sort of an improvement. Yeah, sure. Bring in maybe a young offensive coordinator like a Zach Taylor or somebody and get another voice in there, I guess. But no, I don't look at Philbin being a realistic candidate for the job long term after this season is out. And I'd be surprised if whoever does come in to coach this team would keep him around for next year.
Let's take a quick break here. We want to continue on with talking about the future of the Green Bay Packers and maybe a little bit about the game itself. This is, of course, the Screw Everything Bowl being played in Lambeau Field. The only one that's kind of Lambeau Field.
Are you going to give it a different name every time you bring it up?
Pray I don't just give it random sponsors now, too. Sponsored by Supreme. We'll be right back. On First Bite, the preview podcast, the ultimate one of 2018. Back again on First Bite, the preview podcast for Pride of Detroit. In the, let's call this the Lowe's Our Lives Are Hell Bowl.
Okay.
So, speaking of future, we were talking a little bit of future on the Green Bay Packers here on the last segment, and I know we touched on a few things, but I want to start with the reports that the Packers are talking to right now, someone very familiar to Lions fans, and that is Jim Caldwell, formerly of the Detroit Lions, fired at the end of last year for nothing less than having a winning record, but not good enough for the Detroit Lions. He's been away from coaching for the entire year, and now the Packers are looking at him, which is funny for several reasons. We'll probably get into Tex's thoughts here in a second. One, I think Tex was saying that Mike McCarthy had a problem not really understanding what the run game was for. And boy, when Jim Caldwell comes in there, that's totally going to change. That is totally going to change. And the other thought is, this is kind of an interesting one, though, because, I mean, I've seen some people brushing it off. This is just kind of a Rooney Rule, look into Caldwell. I don't agree with that. But I guess that depends on where you stand on Caldwell. This is a guy who, again, had a winning record in Detroit, which, as we're seeing with Patricia, not easy to do. On the other hand, a lot of people saw a lot of flaws in what he did. So I guess I should ask Tex, would you like Jim Caldwell, who is, if I remember, he's actually from Wisconsin, born in Wisconsin, would you want him as the Packers head coach? And why or why not?
He would definitely not be my first choice. Let's put it that way. If they were to get rejected by a whole host of other people and Jim was left and was, you know, it came down to Jim or say Chuck Pagano, the other person who's been reported that the Packers have interviewed, I could live with it, I think. But certainly it's not a name that's moving the needle very much for me, or I think for Packers fans as a whole. And part of it is the run game aspect that you mentioned. Like I said earlier, you know, McCarthy didn't really seem to know how to use the running game or use his running backs effectively. And I have very little faith that Caldwell, with his track record, would be able to do any better with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams.
Yeah, I would say you get pretty great production. Like, if anything should be understood, you probably see some pretty good production out of Rodgers. But yeah, absolutely no help on the ground. So, and it is funny because I know some Packers fans are rejecting it just because he was a Lions head coach, and there's always the stink associated with that. But if he did get hired, he would be the first Lions, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, first Lions head coach, former Lions head coach, to get a head coaching gig after Detroit since the 50s or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, I think if you don't include interim, I think that's true.
There was the one interim coach. Yeah, but I don't count that.
Yeah, and I mean, you were talking last segment about wanting a forward-thinking, innovative offensive mind.
Oh, boy.
Not an old-timer. Jim Caldwell seems to kind of fall in that latter category.
I guess the coach who got us an OC, but yeah, no, definitely head coaches are going a lot younger these days, too.
Do you have at this point a guy that's on your wish list? Because, I mean, obviously, I think at this point the Packers are doing their due diligence. These are the only guys that are kind of available to talk to. They can't obviously interview anyone else in the NFL that currently has a job since we're mid-season still. Is there someone that you're hoping, you know, on Black Monday that the Packers are lined up to interview?
There's probably a couple names that I'd love to see them bring in right away. And honestly, Dave Taub from Kansas City, the special teams coordinator, is one of them. Mm-hmm. He got a couple of head coach interviews, I think last year or maybe the year before. Obviously didn't get those. But honestly, one of the biggest Achilles heels for this Packers team for the last decade has been their abysmal special teams. And I don't think you certainly don't hire a head coach to fix your special teams. But I think that from everything I've read, he's got a good knack for kind of situational football. And I think he would be more inclined to be willing to just hire a creative young offensive coordinator, basically give him the keys to the car as far as the Packers offense goes and let him do his thing. So I'd like to at least see them bring in Taub for an interview. The other guy I think that they're definitely going to try to talk to is probably Josh McDaniels from New England. That one I know people kind of have some very different feelings on just because of what happened with Indianapolis last year. And his, you know, his struggles in Denver and everything there. But I think if you can work with Brady, you can probably work with Rodgers from a personality standpoint. So I don't think there would be any issues there. And I do think he's learned from his time in Denver and would be would be able to function better as a head coach, especially when he's not in charge of personnel, like he kind of was in with the Broncos as well. So those are probably the two names that I'd love to see early on get a little bit of traction. I was big on Lincoln Riley early on. I think today he came out and said he's probably not coming to the NFL this year or anytime soon. We'll see where that goes. But that's like the kind of mind that I'm thinking for leading this Packers offense, whether that's, whether that's a head coach or an offensive coordinator. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is another guy who I was looking at as a possible OC candidate that I could be real excited about before he ended up at USC. So I don't know. Those are the names that are bouncing around in my head right now.
I don't have much else to add to this. I'm just still laughing at the idea of Caldwell. I might as well ask Jeremy what would, like, fans, probably Lions fans would laugh at the idea of the Packers getting Caldwell, but again, like, I don't know, you saw him here, Jeremy. What would be your reaction if the Lions, I mean, if the Packers hire Jim Caldwell?
Well, first I want to say I'd probably push back on saying that Lions fans would laugh. I mean, some certainly would, but he seems to be more popular now than ever in Detroit because of what's happening right now. I did not think in less than a calendar year that we'd see so many Lions fans saying, questioning,
I miss Jim Caldwell
that bad. Yeah. And there are so many, I miss Jim Caldwells right now.
On the staff at POD. Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if you view it the same way, Tex, but a lot of people are saying this year is the best year on Jim Caldwell's resume, just seeing what Matt Patricia did in Detroit. Before I answer Chris's question, do you see it that way in any way, seeing that he took a Lions team to 9-7 2 years in a row and now seeing what Matt Patricia's doing, at least with a somewhat similar roster?
Also, I will add getting them to the playoffs twice as well.
Sure.
Which is a rarity in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think there is some merit to that. That I was certainly surprised when they fired him last year after, three out of four winning seasons and mm-hmm. a couple of playoff appearances. That definitely shocked me. And I thought Patricia was gonna do better than he did. Certainly, at least be kind of hovering around the .500 mark. But yeah, to see what's happened in Detroit this year, yeah, I definitely agree to some extent that speaks to what Caldwell was able to achieve in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and my thoughts on Caldwell going to the Packers is, first of all, I do want to see Jim Caldwell back in the NFL. He's just that nice and good of a person that I think he deserves. I mean, he's a hell of a leader. He's a hell of a leader, and that's half the
that's
battle, I think, is
yeah,
you,
that's,
you want
that's
a head coach.
That's something we always got while he's here in Detroit, too. Like, all those guys would play for him. Like, that's important. Yeah.
There's a couple lines that went on social media today. Stephen Tulloch, former Lion, talking about how good he was. And we saw, I think, James Ahedibo, another former Lion, saying, like, yeah, 9-7, 2 years in a row. Now you all got 5-10. And so, I mean, that just goes to show you how much respect he has. Of course, you know, the counter argument there is you don't always want a player's coach. You want someone who's also going to get results and not let players kind of rest on their laurels. And that's where I think you might make an argument against Caldwell. And I do think that not necessarily the Lions have what it did peak with Jim Caldwell. You know, 9-7 was the best they were going to get. I don't necessarily think that's true. But at the same time, I do think there's a certain limit that he can get out of his players. And I think it goes back to what we were kind of alluding to before. I think he's just kind of not a new mind. He's kind of an old football mind, very conservative, not a guy that goes for it on fourth down quite a bit, and not a guy that's going to take a lot of risk, because that's not how football used to be played. And I think for a Packers team that's complaining about not having enough championships, they're not just aiming for playoff appearances and playoff wins, they're aiming for championships. I don't think Caldwell's their guy.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you mentioned there too is, you know, something about him not going for a whole lot of fourth downs and things. I personally, I'm a big believer in a lot of the analytics that are going into decision making. The whole idea of, you know, do you go for two when you're when you score a touchdown when you're down 14, and just general fourth down decision making in the NFL. And I personally would love to have somebody who is more forward thinking in those areas as well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why, you know, what little I have been able to get to about Taubes suggest to me that maybe he could be the guy who would embrace some of that different style of thinking that suggests that you can do things differently than how things have always been done, because it's going to give you a better chance to win games.
The fourth down thing was always weird too, because that first year he was here, Jeremy, that 2014, like, he was going for it a lot in fourth down, and all of a sudden something flipped in his head.
Yeah,
stop doing that.
I don't know. Like, it seemed like a statistical oddity to me. In part, I think part of it was forced by just having awful kickers in the first half of that season.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
That was before the Broncos just handed us Brainer. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's not a completely backwards thinker in terms of that. But I do think, like, he certainly doesn't seem like the face of analytics to anybody. I don't think.
Right.
That's true. All right. Well, I think we've bandied this around enough. We got about like 5 minutes left. Do either of you want to talk about this game at all?
I want to ask one question, and that's literally it about this game. Yeah. Is Davante Adams going to play?
Yes, I would put money on it that Adams is going to play. He said as much after practice on Wednesday, and if nothing else, he's two catches away from setting the Packers single season record in receptions and breaking Sterling Sharp's mark from, I think, 1993. So I think that's something to play for, and that's something that's probably on his mind. But yeah, he needs about 200 yards or so to break Nelson's single season yardage record. So he's probably well off of that, but you've got some of those numbers to work towards. And I think he kind of like Rodgers in his comments before the Jets game views it as kind of a leadership thing. And that, I want to go out and tough it out for my team and show these guys how to do it. Now, I think he'll be on a snap count. I don't think he's going to be out there for, 100% of the snaps like he usually is, maybe 50% or 60% though.
All right. Well, this has basically been our preview. Is there anything else you want to preview in the Foster Farms Everything is Pain Bowl?
I think I'm just excited to see some of these young Packers. I mean, you mentioned it earlier. It's like a preseason game. Get some of these guys into the game and get them some live reps. If the result doesn't really matter, you know, I want to see Kendall Donerson, who's a seventh round edge rusher of the Packers this year, who apparently can run 4.45 at 6'3 and 250. I want to see him on the field. And he's, since he got called up from the practice squad, he's been inactive. I want to see the Packers' latest 6'5" receiver, Alan Lazard, get some snaps on offense. I want to see Big Bob Tonyan, our young tight end, play more than 10 snaps in a game. So those are the kinds of things I want to see out of this game. Am I worried about the result? No, I'm not. But I want to see young players get some live reps and get some opportunities to show that they belong and that they deserve to be competing for jobs next year.
Are you guys hiding any more like five worded receivers on your roster?
I'm pretty sure Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown are the only two with three names. Okay. St. Brown's probably not going to play. He got a concussion last week, so he's probably out, which is why I'm excited to see, hopefully, Alan Lazard. And then there's the great Whitewater Hope, Jake Kumerow, who everybody loves in Green Bay because he's from Whitewater, Wisconsin, and he's a white guy with awesome long hair and long beard. So he's fun to see what he'll do too, but no, it's just the two rookies, luckily for the sake of all the announcers.
With Clay probably heading out of town, you need a replacement for white guy with long hair. So that fills that quota. That's I have one point. Last Tex Western here, Acme Packing Company. I've got one last question for you for the Konami. Why God, just why Bowl? Do you feel any closer to the Detroit Lions organization? Any budding emotions now that we are both at the bottom of the pile together?
Not really.
Okay. Good talk.
One thing about this matchup, Tex was just saying about all the little exciting things about potentially having some of, you know, the bottom of the barrel players get a shot. I don't feel that way at all about the Lions. And
we ain't got shit.
Yeah, that's the, like, is there a young player waiting in the wings who you're excited to see? There isn't.
I'm excited to see Zach Zenner try to revitalize his career again, apparently. That's it. That's all we got here.
There's only a handful of players. There's Tyrell Crosby, who's probably not going to play, you know, the fifth round tackle. And then there's we've seen a lot of it already, but I guess we can get a little bit more excited about potentially seeing a little more Tracy Walker at safety. But it's also could be Glover Quinn's last game, and I guess that would be a nice send off. I don't know. Like there's just not a lot of guys that I'm excited to see at all. And it's kind of a sad state of where the roster is right now, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Tex Western, find him on Twitter at Tex Western. We thank him so much for joining us on the Google Chromecast. Everything is burning. Bowl preview talk.
Lions Packers. A Timex reference in there.
I was struggling. I spent everything when I brought out Konami.
Like, we managed to go this whole podcast without mentioning punctuality. I guess maybe we'll save that stuff for the POD cast.
Yeah. Well, as always, we're late to talking about punctuality. How about that?
There you go. Nailed it.
All right. Tex Western at Tex Western, acmepackingcompany.com, our brothers in arms over covering the Green Bay Packers. Enjoy this terrible game. I almost said a bowl game, and again, I don't have any sponsor now. So it's been First Bite. Listen to us on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher. I don't think Spreaker anymore, actually. Google Play Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. That's all. Thank you, guys. Keep listening to PODcast in the off season. We're going to have a lot of fun on that thing. We're going to start having some guests on almost as early as the next PODcast. You want to keep listening. You want to subscribe. You want to get all your stuff in there. Please, we need your help to create an empire to play Toto Africa at every Lions game, wherever possible. It's won. We're going to keep winning, even if the Lions aren't. See you, Star Side. We'll talk.
You're going to be sick of winning.
Sick of winning with Africa.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.